I'd like you to turn in Scripture this morning to the book of Job once again. Book of Job, chapter number 14. I don't look like what I've been through. How many of you can identify with that? You don't look like what you've been through. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. We looked at Job's suffering. We've looked at, in this series, about why God allows suffering to happen. What should be our response to suffering? That God is a God of restoration. We looked at the entire story of Job and watched as, and we saw near the end that God did indeed restore Job. And we looked back and said, well, what kept Job going through that whole process? Well, it was Job's hope. And Job would tell you that it was his hope that kept him going. We pick up on that this morning in Job chapter 14, if you will, in verse 7. Job 14 and verse 7, for there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender branch will not cease. Though its root grow old in the earth, and its stalk die in the ground, yet at the very scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. In verse number 14, look there with me, Job asks this question. It's one of the great questions of the Bible. It says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to speak to you today about Job's recovery. I had planned to talk about Job's restoration, but at the last minute, the Lord took me down this path and has changed my heart this morning for Job's recovery. It's the road through recovery. The road through recovery. Job was the picture of helplessness and hopelessness, wasn't he? I mean, he had been cut down, he was broken, he was mourning, he was destitute, he was riddled with pain and disease, he was suffering in every area of his life. He was suffering physically and mentally and emotionally and financially and spiritually and relationally. He had nothing left, he had nowhere to go. And then he's angrily confronted by his wife, and he's judged unfairly by his so-called friends. Boy, Job just had a bad time. But somehow Job retained the promise and the possibility of hope. We looked at that a few weeks ago. We also looked at how Job vacillated. Job would go from faith and hope to despair. Remember us talking about that? He would go up and down. It was kind of an emotional roller coaster for Job. He went between hope and despair, but in the end, he was completely restored. And if you would have talked to him a few years afterward, later in his life, he would tell you, after God had restored all the children plus some, restored all the cattle and land and houses double, he got double of everything. He would have told you at that point, oh, wait, you don't understand. I don't look like what I've been through. Our world is broken and hurting. You've seen it in the news. What you're seeing is just the manifestation. It's just the symptom of a broken world and a broken society and a broken culture. It's just the symptom of broken people. Like Job's condition, it's chronic. It's the painful sickness of sin that at some time or another, in one way or another, affects all of us. And people are broken. Broken hearts and broken minds and broken bodies, just like Job. And those people don't need a strategy. They don't need no more rules or laws or lectures. What they need is healing. What most people need is not another rule or a law or another lecture. What most people need is healing, because we've heard it. We know it. And after being struck down, after his tragedy and sudden loss and his disaster, Job had to go through a process of recovery. And like Job, what they need and what we need is recovery. So I bring to you this morning the road through recovery. I don't look like what I've been through. Pray with me. Father, I bring your word before you. I stop in this moment to do it because we need to hear your word and respond to it. It needs to go deep into our hearts so we can live by it, so we can grow by it and be built up by it. But Lord, beyond that, I need the economy of words this morning. You see how my heart is flooded and how overwhelmed I am with what you've placed on it. I pray, Lord, you give me an economy of words so that I best use the time to express the exact words and the exact concepts and things that you need to bring to us today. And Father, I pray that our hearts would be open, not just open to hear, but open to healing and open to recovery. Because when we have been cut down, Lord, what we need most is you. Honor it now, Lord, I pray in your name. Amen. The road through recovery. You know, we can be cut down in an instant. It'll only take one phone call and your life changes. It'll just take one doctor's visit. It'll just take one person ringing your doorbell. It'll just take one moment of your time and everything is different. And from that moment on, you likely will mark time. It will be before this happened and after this happened. Job's life was marked by one of those moments. That day, when in the course of hours, while one disastrous thing was happening, another disastrous thing was happening. While one person was telling him how he had lost all of his cattle and land and all of his servants, someone else comes in and tells him he's lost all of his children. Job marked time because Job was human. Job marked the time of his life by that day. And some of you have had instances like that in your life. Not just one or two, but maybe three or four or five moments in your life where you will mark time and your life will never be the same. We can be cut down in an instant, but we seldom come back instantly. It's a process. Job would tell you, I don't look like what I've been through, but you didn't see the process. Oh, I know there were friends that were around him, and there were friends who saw him in the ash heap scraping his sores with broken pottery just to bring himself some relief. They saw that. But likely they didn't see the entire process. You know, our scripture said that there is hope for a tree if it's cut down, that it can spring back to life again. But when a tree is cut down, it doesn't just miraculously reappear as a tree. It has to start with a bud and a blossom and a sprout and a sprig and goes to a sapling and then it grows over time. And he uses a metaphor of a tree because sometimes it is a long process. I want you to hear something as we begin this morning that is important for you to know. It's that recovery is not the destination. We think about, and we hear people talk about the road to recovery. Recovery is not the destination. Restoration is the destination. We're not going to recovery. We're going through recovery. When something happens, it's the road through recovery that's important, not the road to recovery. You don't want to just be recovered. You want to be restored. It's the process of restoration that's the destination. Recovery is just the process. Recovery through adversity will take some time. It'll take some patience. It's going to take some work. Sometimes there's miraculous healing. Sometimes there's miraculous deliverance. And there's miraculous reversal. But most of the time, recovery needs a process. And you can point to moments in your life where you're in the process of recovery and God does the miraculous and speeds it up. You can point to moments in your life where you have been miraculously healed and God just supernaturally does something that gets you from point A to point B. And those are great opportunities and those are great moments and we praise God for that. But if it's not always that way, there must then be a process that gets me through recovery. So after beginning in a pile of ashes, naked and scraping his wounds, we find Job as he works his way through the process of recovery. And if you haven't read through the book of Job, that's what he's doing. He's working his way through the process of recovery, one step at a time, moment by moment. Good minutes turn into good hours. Good hours turn into good days. Good days turn into good weeks. One good decision will lead to another good decision. Sometimes recovery seems like you're taking two steps forward and one step back. Come on, somebody. Sometimes recovery seems like it's a walk in the dark, not a walk in the park. Do I have anybody? It seems like an uphill pull, but let me tell you, it's a process. Let God work through the process. Don't dismantle your faith. Don't dismantle your hope as you work through the process of God bringing you through recovery. You can have an intervention. You can have a moment where help. You can have people that help you and doctors that help you and financial planners that help you. There's a lot of good people God can bring around you to help you and strengthen you. But as God adds the pieces to you, don't dismantle your faith and don't discard your hope just because you're in the process. On the road through recovery, there's a lot of things that change. And sometimes things through recovery will change very, very slowly. Some sicknesses take a long time to recover from. Some surgeries, some broken bones, some emotional scars, some tragic events in our lives can take a long time. It's a slow process. It's not always fast. And when you're in the slow process of recovery, it can lead to frustration. And you get disillusioned. And you get into this crisis of faith and hope. And you wonder where God is. Job had that. Scroll over to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23, look at verse 3 and 4. Oh, that I knew where I could find him, that I might come even to his seat. Look at verse number 1 and 2. Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. He said, the burden is even bigger than my groaning is. Oh, that I knew where I might find God, that I might come even to his seat. I would set my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Job was in the middle of the process of recovery. He was frustrated and somewhat disillusioned because things weren't changing very rapidly. And all of this had happened to him. Listen, when things happen slowly, you can get very frustrated and disillusioned and have this crisis, and you wonder where God is, and you begin to battle with doubt, and you struggle with why. Struggle with why is this happening? Look at chapter 24. You're there close. Look at chapter 24. Here's a good example. Job continues. You know, at this point, God seems to be indifferent to the wicked people. He says, why, seeing the times are not hidden from the Almighty, why do they that know him not see his days? Some remove the landmarks. They violent take away flocks and they feed them. They drive away the donkeys of the fatherless and they take the widow's ox for a pledge. He's asking, he says, why is all this happening? We struggle with the why question. A few weeks ago we talked about how you can vacillate between faith and doubt. How when you have greater degree of adversity, greater pain, greater sickness, greater loss, greater reversal, that will determine the variation of faith and doubt. If it's a small problem, you know, we don't have very much trouble with faith and doubt. We can trust God. But the greater the problem, the more that the deeper those valleys get and the higher those highs get. And so instead of rocking along here, then it gets deeper and deeper. And the bigger the issue, the bigger the problem, the greater the tendency is to have these wide fluctuations in faith and doubt. And that's what we see during the recovery phase. I want to point it out to you because what the devil will do when you're down, when you're starting to doubt, the devil will condemn you and say, you don't have any faith, you might as well give up. He'll use the valleys as an occasion to bring condemnation to you. And then you have the thing where you're so full of faith and trust and everything's going great that you're a little out of control emotionally, so when you start coming back down, you crash hard. See, when you're in the process of recovery, you want to get a good start, and then you want to keep an even keel of faith and trust and hope, and keep moving forward. The plan is progress. The plan is moving forward. Can I tell you there are days in the process of recovery where the goal is to get back in bed? And if you hadn't had major surgery, you don't understand that. Because you have major surgery, they get you out of bed and say, you got to sit here for 3 hours. Your goal is to sit there for 3 hours, get back in bed. There are some days where emotionally and spiritually, your goal is to make it through the day, get back in bed. Because you need the rest and you've got to find a place where you can relax and you finally found a safe place. It's recovery. It's recovery. So what you need is an even keel and a strength and a foundation that keeps you solid. Because there will be some emotional highs and lows in recovery. Okay? Recovering through that kind of adversity. You vacillate between strength and weakness and joy and sadness. It's part of the process. And you have to understand it's part of the process. Otherwise, the devil will use it against you when things don't seem to be going your way. Are we okay there? Sometimes things change very rapidly, though. Sometimes you get these very rapid change, and it's hard to keep check on your emotions. Because one bad thing could lead to another bad thing, and now you've got them kind of compiling upon you, and it seems like it's kind of spiraling out of control. Or good things happen, begin to happen rapidly in succession, and you can't really wrap your mind around it. You just got to hold on and trust and go with it. Can I just tell you, both of those things happen in recovery? That as you're recovering from loss and emotional things and spiritual things and all this other stuff that's happened, sometimes it's physical. You can have a day where you've had a bad day, and the next day you feel like you're 3 or 4 steps ahead because suddenly overnight, for no reason, you're suddenly better. And so you have to kind of wrap your head around that things can change very slowly, and then all of a sudden in recovery, things can change very quickly. What I'm saying is you can't be tied to how quickly or slowly recovery happens. The plan is to go through recovery. And sometimes it's going to be fast, sometimes it's going to be slow. During recovery, there is very often a rediscovery that happens. You begin to learn some things. You learn who you are. You learn what you can do. You learn what your limitations are. I go back and use the process of major surgery. You learn after surgery what you can and can't do. Sometimes as you're recovering, you go, oh, I can't do that. I'm not there yet. When you're going through rehab, you want to push it, you know, and you want to rehab really fast, but you realize, oh, that's a little ahead of me. I can't do that right now. When you're going through the process of recovery from trauma and emotional things and spiritual recovery, you'll learn a lot about yourself. You'll rediscover what your limits are. You'll rediscover some of your limitations and some of your weaknesses, but you'll also discover some of your strengths. You'll see that there is good in you. There's also some bad in you. You'll start to discover what's important to you, what's important in life, and what's not important. You'll begin to discover who God is and what He really means to you in your life. When you're going through the process of recovery, you'll realize there's a God who is faithful to you, and you'll realize how much you need to depend on Him. When you're making the right road through recovery, when you're going through recovery, you can learn who you can trust. You'll learn who's faithful. You'll learn those people around you that are encouraging, and you'll learn those people who are poison to you in recovery. You'll learn the people that help you recover, and you'll learn the people who give you setbacks. And very often after recovery, you emerge as a much different person. You're stronger, you're wiser, you're meeker, you may be more humble, you're more aware of yourself, you're more aware of Father God, you're more aware of Jesus. And if you recover well, you'll use them. There's a few things on the road through recovery that you need to know. Here's the first one. On the road through recovery, you need to know that it is God's will to heal. It is God's will to heal. Now, we could have an argument maybe or a debate scripturally about whether it's God's will to heal, but I think I'm going to win it. God's a creator, not a destroyer. The only thing that God destroys are the things that want to destroy His creation. He's a creator. He self-described Himself in Exodus 15. He says, I am the God who heals you. By His own admission, He is, in His nature and His essence, a healer. Jehovah Rapha, he self-defined himself as the healer. It is impossible for God not to be a healer because he declared himself to be so. Because it's impossible for God to lie. Jesus is the express image of the Father, and Jesus went about doing good and healing all manner of diseases. Resurrection power guarantees healing. Malachi chapter 4 says that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings. God is a healer. And when you're on the road through recovery, you need to know that it is the nature of God to heal, and it is His will that you recover and that you go through the process of recovery. Romans chapter 8 says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. He is a healer. Second thing you need to know on the road through recovery, you need to know that Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the healer. He went through all Galilee doing good and healing all. Isaiah chapter 53 teaches us that the stripes at Calvary brought about our healing. For bodies that are broken, for hearts that are ripped open, for emotions that have been torn, for spirits that have been abused and mistreated, there is a healer. Jesus is a friend who sticks with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's walking with you through the road through recovery to be your healer. He's a healer. Third thing on the road through recovery you need to understand is that He's mindful of your condition. He's mindful of your condition. Nothing happened to Job that God didn't know about. God knew about all of it. Nothing happened to Job that the Father didn't know about. He also knew about Job. Remember? It was God who kind of volunteered Job. Have you considered my servant Job? Thanks, God, Job would say. Thanks a lot. So this is the thanks I get. Imagine Job living faithfully for God. Everything's going well. A righteous man, no blame in him whatsoever. God sets him up. I think God did it for you and me more than Job. He knew Job. He knew what Job was made of. He knew that Job would not deny him. He knew Job's character. He knew Job's depth. He knew what was inside of Job. What did David say in Psalms 103? For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows your circumstances. He knows what you're built with. He knows how you're hurting. He knows you're down. He knows when you're falling apart. He knows how you're built. He knows what you're constructed of. He knows what you can do and what you can't do. He knows what you can handle and what you can't. He knows your limitations. Matthew chapter 10 talks about how sparrows are sold for a farthing and there's not a single sparrow that falls to the ground, even though they're cheap and you can find them anywhere. We know that from that passage that every hair of our head is numbered. That each one of them are known by God. That it's an allegory, it's a metaphor, it's a statement that just says God knows about the individual hair on your head. He knows you so well that He knows about the individual hairs on your head. Then it concludes in that passage, Matthew chapter 10, that says, you are of more value than many sparrows. He knows your weaknesses. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows how best to help you. He knows what you need, and He knows when you need it. When you are in the process through recovery, He is mindful of your condition. Fourth thing you need to know on the road through recovery is that God remains faithful. God remains faithful. Always. Always faithful. In your darkest days and your worst nights, with all the stuff that you don't understand and you can't put words to, when it won't add up on a calculator and you couldn't go to any place to figure out how anything's going to fit together and how life is going to work anymore, when you walk away from a situation and you go, my life will never be the same, when you're dealing with sickness or disease, or you're dealing with sin, or you're dealing with all the stuff that has impacted you and your life has changed in a moment and you're forced into a recovery process, when you walk away from that and you walk through that going, I don't know how I'm going to be anything after this. Life will never be the same. God will still be faithful. He will always be faithful. He will never leave. Jesus promised to never leave us or forsake us. There is no reason for you to feel ashamed, alone, or abandoned through the process of recovery, because you're recovering. It's a process. God is faithful. He knows your frame. He knows what you can do. Jesus is going with you. Listen, we may not be instantly, fully, and miraculously delivered from loss, pain, sorrow, disease, sadness. While you're in the process through recovery, you may be hurting and healing at the same time. Have you been there? I mean, we could talk about physical illnesses, surgeries where after surgery you hurt worse than you did before surgery. It is possible to be hurting and healing at the same time. It's recovery. Pain is not necessarily the indication that you're not healing. Pain is an indication that you're just not fully healed. But it's the process through recovery. That recovery is temporary. Recovery is a transitional state. You aren't supposed to stay in recovery. You can be hurting and healing at the same time, but you're moving through the process of recovery. You're going through recovery to restoration. You got to move through recovery. You aren't supposed to stay in recovery. At the hospital, when you have surgery, where do they take you after surgery? Recovery room. Do you ever stay in recovery room forever? No. You're not allowed to stay in recovery room forever. It's a process. It's a transitional area. You're going to go out of there into another area. The goal is to go successfully through the recovery area so you can go to the other area and continue your recovery. And go through the process of recovery so you can be restored to a full state of health. That's the goal. You aren't supposed to stay in recovery. Remember, you're going through it. People who stay in recovery mode never completely recover. They never completely heal. They never rise up from the ash heap. They never forgive others. They never get their spiritual strength back. They never begin to walk in faith because they're always recovering. You can't stay in recovery mode. People who stay in recovery will lie there, they'll linger, they'll languish, and they'll lose. They'll lose their peace, they'll lose their joy, they'll lose their strength, and they'll become identified with their losses rather than identified with the success and identified with the God who's bringing them through the process of recovery. You can't stay in recovery. There has to be a moment where you move and you go, I am moving out of recovery into restoration. It's a spiritual moment where God's speaking to your heart and goes, the recovery process is over. If you'll allow Him, He'll bring you through the process of recovery and you'll step out of recovery into restoration. But if you choose to stay in recovery, you'll never fully heal. You'll never move into full restoration. And you'll always have the pain that puts you in the process to begin with. Still with me? While you're recovering, a few things you need to do while you're recovering. First thing, rest. Rest. Rest is good. I mean, used to, the prescription was you need bed rest, right? If you're sick, doctor tell you go home, go to bed. Sometimes it's the best thing you can do is just go to bed. Really, that's good news for you. Sometimes the best thing you can do, sometimes you're just wore smooth out, you just need some rest, need some sleep. Sometimes you need to recover. Sometimes it's going to take some rest. When you're in the process of recovery, one of the best things you can do is rest. Rest physically. Sometimes that means your goal is to sleep uninterrupted for 2 hours. 2 hours. And most of you are sitting there going, my goodness, 2 hours? I do a 2-hour nap just watching the news at night. I know some of you do. That's all right. But there are people who have been through such emotional, physical, or spiritual pain. The tragedy is so great that their focus is about 10 minutes. And they can focus about 10 minutes at a time. And if they can get 2 hours of uninterrupted sleep, that's about the best they can start with. Your goal then is to rest. Got to have rest. If you're physically not rested, emotional well-being and spiritual well-being will be off kilter. You got to have some physical rest. You work from 2 hours to 4 hours to 6 hours to 8 hours. I've had seasons in my life where I've been knocked off my props, as they would say in Arkansas. And I can remember some nights where I'm going, and some weeks or months where I'm going, man, I just want to sleep 4 hours interrupted. That's all I want is 4 hours of uninterrupted sleep. I just want to go 30 minutes with doing something where I can concentrate for 30 minutes without this other thing not jumping up and me being all messed up over it. All I wanted was 30 minutes. Mental rest. Emotional rest is important. You have to take, in the process of recovery, you've got to eliminate stress and eliminate some chaos. It'll take some work. You've got to identify the emotional triggers and limit their impact. And we could get really specific. We could talk about specific strategies, but whatever you have to do to eliminate some emotional stress and eliminate some chaos, you may have to put some limits on your phone and limits on your Facebook and limits on your doorstep. You may have to put some limits on some people to say, I cannot deal with that, except between 6 and 7 o'clock at night, I will deal with that. You take control over the emotional triggers. Now, this may not feel very spiritual or very scriptural to you this morning, but I could take you to places in God's Word where Jesus was struggling in ministry and He was giving out, and He went away privately to pray. He set some limits on people. He set some limits on some things because He had to get away from the emotional chaos and the stress. You have to emotionally rest. You have to rest spiritually. I can tell you, you can rest in the peace of God. You have to learn to rest in His peace. Exodus 33 says, My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Psalm 62, 1 and 2, My soul finds rest. In God alone, my salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will never be shaken. Hebrews 4:9 said us, Let us strive to enter into the rest of God. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus said, Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 1 Peter 2:7, we sang it this morning, Cast all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. There has to be some spiritual rest. We'll talk about that as we get into this next part. Number two, while you're recovering, you have to rest. You have to refresh. There has to be a refreshing. For those of you who were super spiritual a few minutes ago and you just had to have something really spiritual instead of something so practical, get into the presence of God and worship and pray in the Holy Spirit. Refresh your soul. Refresh yourself in His presence. Change what you listen to. Put some worship music on. Find something that's going to lift you up and build you up. Sometimes it's silence. Sometimes it's nothing. It's just being you and God in silence. Pray. Find and seek out some time where you and God can be alone. You may have to strategize it. You may have to be very intentional about it because you have children, you have husbands, you have wives, and you have businesses, and you have all this stuff. But if you'll turn your phone off and turn your Facebook off and get in the presence of God, you'll find a refreshing for your soul. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray. Pray and pour it out before God. Pour it out before Him. Psalms 142 gives us this image of praying as you pray to pour it out. It's like you bring something before God and go, okay, God, I'm going to pour this, and you just pour it out in front of Him. And you, when you pour something out, you can't control where it goes and how it flows. You just got to pour it out. To refresh your soul, pray. Psalms 142, I will pour out before Him my complaint. Before Him I will tell all my trouble. We've read it in Job chapter 23. Oh, that I knew where I could find Him, because I would go to Him and I would go to His seat and I would set my cause before Him. Hebrews 4:16, let us go boldly, therefore, under the throne of grace, that we can find and obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Pour it out before Him, because when you pour it out, it'll change your mind and your emotions, and it gives you a spiritual reset. It resets you back to that connection to know God is my healer. God is my sustainer. God is faithful to me. Just a moment in His presence can make all the difference. Learn the privilege and the power and the peace that comes in worship and in prayer. Paul said to the Philippians as he wrote, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and just and pure and lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things." We have to train our mind, refresh our mind about the things that will build us up. We have to set some limits because we're trying to make our way through recovery. While you're recovering, the third thing you have to do is release. There are some things and some people and some hurts and some pain that you have to let go if you're going to make it through recovery. If you choose to hang on to them, you will stay in recovery mode. You will never be restored. You have to release them. Unforgiveness will prevent your healing. Unforgiveness prevents spiritual healing. What did Jesus say? If you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. It wasn't a command. He wasn't saying you're going to go to hell if you don't forgive. That wasn't His point. His point was, if you want to be whole spiritually and emotionally and you want to be restored, there's some things you have to let go because you can't stay tied to them. You can't stay burdened with them. It'll prevent your healing because it keeps you hurting instead of healing. It is possible to be hurting and healing at the same time and move through it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to be in one moment. It's a process. But it has to be a process of letting some things go, specifically related to people who have hurt you. If you don't forgive them and release them, you'll never heal. See, it's a process. You have to stop judging them and say it was easy. You have to take your focus off of them. Quit trying to weigh their emotions. You're not going to be able to do it. You can't hold them to unrealistic expectations. They're only going to be who they are, and you can't change them. So you got to release them. Love them? Sure. Trust them? Sometimes, sometimes not. Want to be their buddy? Sometimes, sometimes not. But you got to release it. Because unless we release those things, they keep the wounds open. And when wounds stay open, they get infected. And once they're closed over, the infection is beneath the surface and they can be calloused and scarred and still infected. Still not healed. And what happens if we continually hold on to those things is we begin to interpret our world or those people in our world through the prism of someone else's wrongdoing, and we begin to project what they did onto someone else. And you hold other people responsible for the pain that somebody else caused you. And the result should be obvious at this point. You keep hurting yourself over and over and over rather than moving through the process of recovery. You have to release some things. To really recover and move toward complete restoration, we have to release some things and some people from their responsibility and forgive. And release control over the things that you can't control and people you can't fix and that we can't change. Release our right to hold on to them, to hold them responsible, and to quit rehearsing the pain over and over. Otherwise, we never move through recovery. I'll take you to Job 42:10. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read it to you. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. The Lord restored Job. The Lord brought complete healing and restoration for Job when he prayed for his friends, when he released them." I got to move quickly. While you're recovering, four things: rest, refresh, release, and in my notes, it's RX because they all started with R. It's prescription. Prescription. You got to find something in the Word. I'm moving quickly. You got to find something in the Word that promises your healing and recovery. Find you something and hang on to it. Take the prescription and the nurture and the healing and the strength that you find in God's Word. Jeremiah in chapter 8 said that there is a balm in Gilead. He said there is a balm in Gilead. So if there is, why haven't God's children not recovered? If there's a balm in Gilead, and there is, then why have God's children not recovered? Because they haven't used the balm of Gilead. Gilead was east of the Jordan in Moab. Outside of the promised land, it was a place of pain and a place of suffering and wandering and confusion and depression and grief. There's all that tied up in Moab. When they would say the word Moab, everybody would think, oh no, not Moab. Nobody wants to go to Moab, because Moab was always a terrible place of wandering and suffering and depression and suffering and deep emotional pain. See, when we're in deep emotional pain and there's a lot of tragedy in your life, it'll keep you paralyzed in Moab instead of crossing over Jordan and going into the promised land. I don't have time to preach all that. We have an example in Joseph, because when Joseph was in his pit, the brothers were up there eating bread and he was down in the pit having nothing. And here come the Moabites, right? And he was sold to the Moabites. Why? Well, when you live in Moab of emotional pain, you need the balm of Gilead. And Joseph found healing. And Joseph found comfort with the Moabites. There's comfort and healing and anointing. Listen, I just want you to hear it this morning. There's a balm of Gilead for healing and recovery of the soul and the mind and the emotions and the memories and the hard places that have threatened to control us from the inside, that threatens to quietly destroy the foundation of our spiritual health. That balm is not a pill, it's not a drink, it's an ointment, it's a salve. It's part of the holy anointing oil of Exodus chapter 30. It had to be applied with the hands. And in fact, in the holy anointing oil, there was twice as much myrrh than anything else. Twice as much as anything else. Somehow, I think God knew sometimes the pain would be great and His people would have to recover. Had to be applied with the hands. It takes contact, a deep massage. God knew sometimes the pain would be deep. He knew that recovery would be hard and that it might be long. It was not an easy, quick process for Job. He went through recovery. But the recovery wasn't where he was headed. He was headed to restoration. But to get there, he had to go through recovery. Bow your heads with me. I have to stop there. Brother Tim's going to join me at the piano, if you would, please. If you're on the road through recovery, this message is for you this morning. And I don't know where any or all of you are regarding recovery and healing, whether that's physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually. God knows that and you know that. But some of you are on the road through recovery. You thought you had recovered by the Word this morning. You realize, I still got some work to do and some steps to take. I thought recovery was my destination. The restoration is my destination. Some of us know someone else who's recovering. They have some recovery to do. They've been hurt. They're sick. Broken. Maybe some of us have some things to release. Some of us need the rest of the Father. Some of us need the peace that comes. As the Word says, He makes us to lie down in green pastures. Some of us need to be led beside still waters for our soul to be restored. Because we're going through the process of recovery. Father, look upon us this morning and see us. Move now through this house by Your Holy Spirit. Open up the window of heaven and pour out into this house, into anyone who's listening, Your balm, Your healing. Start us on the process through recovery, the road through recovery, where it's no longer just a destination, it's the process. Lord, I pray that the words that You have expressed through me this morning would find a place of understanding. Let us be enriched by the knowledge of Your Word and the practical application of it. Bring us now into this altar where You can touch us where your Spirit can begin to apply balm of Gilead for recovery. Where we can intercede for those that are around us, those that need to recover. And we pray for them. We present ourselves before you. Can I ask you to stand and move toward the altar? Find you a place where you can pray this morning. You need recovery. You need recovery. You know someone who needs recovery. On the other side of recovery is restoration. When it's all said and done, like Job, God will have restored your heart, restored your mind, restored you spiritually, restored relationships. I dare say that after Job's experience, you understand Job was never the same. He wasn't the same. Just because God added 10 children to him didn't mean that he hadn't lost 5. He was just as connected to the 5 that he lost. Just because God healed him of the boils and the sores didn't mean he lost his memory and he forgot that he had been sick. Job was never the same, but he was restored to something greater. Because he allowed himself to go through the process of recovery so that when someone would look at him, they would go, "Boy, Job, you've got it all. You've got it happening. You are blessed beyond belief." And Job would say, "You are absolutely right. I am blessed. But I don't look like what I've been through." Because he'd been through the process of recovery. And on the other side of it is restoration. On the other side of recovery is restoration. Lord willing, we'll talk about that next week. Don't despise the day of small things and small beginnings. Don't lose your hope. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't let your faith get derailed in the process of recovery. Steady steps. The plan is progress. The plan is recovery. And all the while, you'll know God is a healer. God is faithful. Jesus is the physician. I'm being healed. I may be hurting, but I'm healing. I'll rest. I'll refresh. I'll release. I'll find the prescription for what I need. And I will emerge restored, greater